Blog Talk Radio.
Takes y'all back, right? Ooh, what was that's the Silvers, man, from way back. And let me just turn my monitor. Yeah, let me turn that monitor down a little bit there. I tell you, it's just amazing, these old school songs, how they just it was so many beautiful songs that were done by Solar itself, just the Silvers, Leon Silvers, leading the way. And I gotta tell you guys, and everybody needs to know this, if it wasn't for Leon Silvers, there would be no Solar. Not the way that it was. He was the reason for the season. I mean, he was the one that was, Dick was so smart, just like Berry Gordy was so smart. He found Smokey Robinson, pulled him in to do that. So Leon Silvers was to Dick Griffey what Smokey Robinson was to Berry Gordy, bottom line. And Leon was producing everybody in the beginning. I mean, every single group, The Whispers, Shalamar, Dynasty, Climax, Lakeside. He was producing everybody. I mean, that's a lot of pressure on one individual to deliver the goods all the time. I mean, all the time. That was his gig, right? And so, you know, you just got to just really be it makes me a little sad that he has not gotten the recognition that he deserves. He should definitely have a star on Hollywood Walk of Fame. I mean, there's no reason why, you know, if he has other producers that come up underneath him and they got stars, come on. Come on, guys. It doesn't even make any sense to for it to be the way that it is there. That is just ridiculous. So, you know, I'm probably going to start off just, you know, starting from the old and going to the newer. All right. So, you know, and some of us have new records out, like Dynasty has a new record coming out in December. You can start ordering it, and I will give you that information probably next week. Starting next week, I'll have that information for you. So you can pre-order next week. But, you know, Lakeside just dropped a new one as well. So The Whispers just dropped a new one. So these old school groups are still dropping songs. So, and I think the pandemic kind of started that. got everybody going because we were stuck. We had nothing else to do, right? And so there you go. Anyway, guys, so, but just remember what I said about Leon Silvers. He was definitely to Dick Griffey what Smokey Robinson was to Berry Gordy. Without a shadow of a doubt. And so don't let anybody fool you. Don't let anybody fool you. Dick was very smart in hiring Leon Silvers. And Leon Silvers was the one. We all learned from him. We were under his guidance. And he took all the different seasonings from all over the country, all over the world, probably different people that were, you know, that came around him. And he would pull all those things together to create the sound of Los Angeles Records. Leon Silvers did that, and my hat's off to him. And I hope you guys recognize that as well. Like I said, don't let no one fool you. That's the real deal. I wouldn't lie to you. All right, so we're going to get going here on Solar Records Radio. This is Wardell Potts Jr. Every Friday here on Solar Records Radio, we celebrate the sound of Los Angeles Records. So let's go. I mean, the music is just amazing. The Whispers leading the way back in the day. And we were just having so much fun. And the artists were just developing. Things were coming together. Dick Griffey had brought in all these artists from different parts of the country. Lakeside, coming from Ohio, Dayton, Ohio, to be specific. And the Whispers from L.A. They from Compton. They from Watts, I believe it is. The Hood. But on and on and on. The Silvers actually from Watts as well, I believe. But they were born in another state where their mom went to college. And mom and dad met over there, and they started Leon and his sister, his older sister, I think it was Olympia or Charmaine. They were born, I think it was Indiana. And then they came here. I mean, well, not here, but to California where I was for 40 years. And continued there or started their career. As things were going on, Dick Griffey started signing all these acts and pulling everybody together and making things happen, getting Leon Silvers involved and, you know, working with all his artists and stuff that he had. And he had, you know, he had left the Soul Train thing at this point. He started off with Don Cornelius on the Soul Train thing. And then Don wanted to focus on what he wanted to focus on, and Dick wanted to focus on what he wanted to focus on. So the sound of Los Angeles Records was created, Solar. And so, with that being said, Dick started laying it down, man. And he, I mean, just, you know, looking for the grooves. We're going to make this thing happen. And you know, he found his musicians through Leon Silvers that he was going to use, that he wanted Leon to use in conjunction with the songs and that Leon was producing. And so that group of guys ended up being Dynasty and Steve Shockley from Lakeside. And so the guitar player. And so we just, it was just an amazing gift and opportunity to all of us that Leon Silvers would have us, you know, working beside him and helping him to do what it is that he had to do. And man, oh man, he went in the studio with Lakeside to help them, and this is what came out.
It's all the way down.
Well, you know, I just wanted to come back because a few things that I wanted to just talk to you guys about in regards to what we're doing. I'm really concentrating right now, so I apologize. I want to answer a couple of questions. And if you have any questions that you want to ask, please feel free to send it to me through Messenger or solarrecordsradio@gmail.com. And but Messenger is like instantaneous. It pops right up on the screen. So if you can, do it that way, okay? In regards to Solar, if we could try to keep it there, that would be great. So let me see here. Let me grab this here. So how did Leon and the sound engineers, producers communicate what they had in their heads to what came out on vinyl? And so this is the thing. When we went into the studio, we literally became a family. We became a body of art. And every part of the body knew its responsibility. And it knew what was expected as well from Leon Silvers. So what happens is, just like with me, when I started working with Leon, I got an idea real quickly what he expected from me. Real quickly, I got that idea. And I wanted to make sure it was quick because I didn't want him to feel like he made a mistake, right? And so by choosing me. And so I was like finishing his sentences. I made sure that, you know, he didn't have to struggle with communicating with me. And for the most part, most of the guys were doing their parts and very studious, like, you know, just listening and learning and getting the gist of what he was trying to lay out for us. And so so everybody knew their part. They knew what they were supposed to do. So when it came down to the communication between Leon and the engineers, oh, yeah. They knew what he expected. They knew what he wanted it to sound like. They knew if it didn't feel right in terms like you're punching in a part, and if they mess up the punch, they knew it. And no one wanted to mess up a punch with Leon. And because it just so for those that don't understand that lingo, punching in, like you say, for instance, you do a guitar part, right? And one of the notes was wrong. And now, so the guitar player is playing along and the engineer is now going to wait till that part comes up right before the bad part. He punches in, get the right note, and then punch out. And the guitar player just keeps playing, right? And so then you go back and you listen, and then that note's fixed. And you're like, yes, okay, cool, we move on. But sometimes there were glitches in the machine. And the machine wasn't as fast as, you know, that's what we would like to think. It wasn't, it's not me, it's the machine. But the machine was always the same speed the whole time. So, and sometimes it works and sometimes it didn't. So you really couldn't blame it on the machine. Right? And so you had to, the engineer had to try, you know, they couldn't blame it on the machine. The machine was the machine. And we are the ones that are not consistent. And so he had to make sure that he was hitting that button just right. And there was sometimes like when Leon was trying to fix his bass part and he would tell the engineer, I won't say anyone's name, you know, okay, punch me in right here, such a spot. And they would punch in the wrong spot. And boy, you thought, you know, somebody stole Leon's car. He would be so upset. And so what that did was create a sense of urgency for the engineers, and they just knew that they had to get it right. So that right there in itself helped them to get better. You know, of course, you're like embarrassed a little bit, a little nervous, but we all were in there. We were family, and we all loved each other. We all cared about each other. And it wasn't like anyone was on the side laughing or anything. It was business. And we had a job to do. And we all needed each other to do the right thing under Leon's direction so we could get this thing done. And so for some reason, we all had faith in Leon, you know, just like Dick Griffey did. And so I think that made it easier for Leon to know that the people that he had working for him trusted him. And so so we were just waiting, you know, whatever he wanted and however it went down, that's what we did. We did our best to be our best when we were in the studio. But so in terms of that question, I hope I answered it. We were one body and we all worked together and we all knew our parts. We knew what we were supposed to do. How much time? Okay, this is another question, by the way. How much time did Leon spend in the studio after recordings were finished? Okay, so, see, finish is the key word. The last word right there is the key word, because a lot of times, you know, being finished is not really being finished as far as Leon was. He's like, he was a perfectionist. And so he would go on and on and on. So when we got finished with the basic recordings, then it was the beginning for Leon to take it to that next step. And this was where the, I mean, we did our part, right? And when it felt right, it was good. And we were like, yes, that feels good. So we're feeling really good about it. But now Leon has to create the magic. He has to combine the vocals with the music. And the vocals, you're like, you know, the music is on this high level. And we're just hoping that the vocals will, you know, will be there. And it was like, oh, my God, it was amazing. So he put a lot of time in. And so, you know, there were a few people complaining, you know, Leon's gone to lunch too long, or he's not around here. Where is he at? He's at the basketball game. He's, you know, the Lakers game or whatever. Hey, that guy needed to have a break. He needed to be able to air out. And if that's how he did it, that's how he did it. I don't think anyone, Dick Griffey, anybody could say anything and complain. But, you know, it's hard to complain when you got gold and platinum records are constantly coming out. Everything he turns in is turning gold and platinum. You're only going to complain so long, right? It's like, okay, can somebody else complain then? Because, it was really like people wanting to control you, but they can't, especially a creative person like Leon. He was so creative and he put so much in it. And it was like you, when you go in the studio and you see how hard he was working to make it what it was, because you never would have thought he was going to get what he got. Because it was like, cutting a piece of wood and just keep chipping it until you carve it into this amazing thing. I mean, he was like, you were like, oh, God, this is tedious. But that's exactly what he did. He just chipped it, and he saw the ending before we did. We had no idea what the ending was. He knew what he wanted to accomplish. And so, and I'm quite sure in some cases he was surprised himself by, you know, like, hey, I'm going to do this. I want to get this. And then something amazing comes along. Like we had a guitar player by the name of Ernest Pepper Reed, and he would bring extraness, if you will, to the table. It would be like, what is that? That's crazy. I mean, it's so good. And it was like, I have never played with a guitar player like that. I've heard of him, but like Pepper had something extraordinary that he would bring to the table every time he played. It was like ridiculous. So those were like treats and rewards to Leon, like, you know, to get those special moments when, you know, we may do something. I remember I played something. It was just, I had no idea what I was playing. And then Leon turned around, looked at me like, what was that? But we kept going. We kept going. And so we just kept going to finish it because he never heard me do that before. And I never did it before. But I just, for some reason, said, I'm going to try this. And it was on the song "There It Is" by Shalimar, and it was like, I wanted to just try it, and I'm wrong. It wasn't "There It Is." "There It Is" I did it in "There It Is" as well, but it was in Dynasty, "Love in the Fast Lane." Going into that first chorus, "Love in the Fast Lane will only get you." Now, it was like, and the way I played the drum fill in the chorus right there, it was really unusual the way I did. And I remember, and it's so weird because I remember being in it. I remember the moment. This is 40-something years ago, and I can remember the anxieties that came with me just letting myself go, being caught up in the music, and just take the risk, Wardell. You got to take the risk, you know. And I just did, spontaneously. And I looked back at me like, what was... He didn't say anything. He just looked like, okay, we keep going. And we kept going. We kept going. And so then we went inside after we finished and we listened to it down. And, man, I was getting fives from the guys. I didn't even know what I did. I was just going. I was just, you know, because what happened is that we all started developing our confidence. And when Leon started getting confident in us, it made us get more confident in ourselves, right? And so then you start willing, you're more willing to take risks and try different things. And so these are the things, this is the difference between computers doing music and human beings. The magic. The magic can come at any given time, and you have no idea when it's going to come. It just happens. And people know the difference. They may not be able to say what it is. They just know it's not the same. They know the difference. And so that's why I push so hard for our young brothers and sisters around the world that are producing and writing songs. You know, it's okay to use machines to get your ideas down. But when you get ready to record, bring in the musicians to stick to your music. You know, but I write a lot of songs on the piano. I'm not a piano player. And the best thing is that if I show the piano player what I play, and he starts playing it, I'm always in awe, like, whoa, that's good, dude. You're good. It has nothing to do with me because what I was playing was cheesy, right? But when he starts playing it, it sounds really like, man, I knew what I was doing when I was writing the song. But it's not me. It's him. It's that musician that has developed himself for this moment, and they deliver the goods. And so I'm just saying, please give the musicians the opportunity to be a blessing in your music. We'll be back. And this is the song I was telling you about. Check it out. What a beautiful song by Climax, eh? Man. I mean, they were funky, and then all of a sudden they dropped this pop ballad. Go Girls. I mean, that was awesome. And, I mean, it crossed over. It was a big, I think it was their biggest hit, actually. And I'm just so happy for them. I have another question here. Okay, so... How much did you discuss the tracks before the recording started? So, as you are, you know, getting into the actual intimacy of our recordings, it was very much... I think because as I'm thinking about it, it was, we would be in a circle or we would be in a room together. We would be getting ready to record. And like I told you, we were the body. We were a body. And everybody knew their part. Everybody knew what they were supposed to do. And everybody knew that they were supposed to come ready to do their part. And there was no pressure. That's the strangest part. And I think that's what made it fun. Because we really enjoyed playing together. we enjoyed the creativity that was coming out of the creativity. In other words, the creativity that was built on top of the song that was created for us to record on. And so this is the basics, and let's do it. Let's make it happen. And, you know, we really never thought about we had a sound. It was never an arrogant moment that I could remember coming from anyone. It was just like, get in there, let's have some fun. It was like going to the basketball court. But instead of it being a ball in the net, it was our instruments and the recording machine, the 24 track. And Leon was the referee. He was the coach. He was calling all the shots. And he was the captain of the team. There was nobody. There was not a second in charge. Nobody. It was all Leon. To be frank and honest, it was Leon, period. No second, nobody even close to second. The thing that we did do was respect each other. And when somebody else, like if we would go to the studio and Leon wasn't there, and we just start recording this, working on the song before he gets there, you know, we respected each other. Somebody would count off and say, "Hey, listen, you know, I did all the counting actually," but someone else would say, "Well, let's do this. Let's at least get going and get started and put this stuff together." And so we did do that, and we respected each other. But you know, like I said, Leon was the captain, the coach, the referee. He was all that. And so when he came in, we're ready. Because nobody wants to get called out. No one gets called for a foul. No one wants to be called for, you know, cheating. No one gets to, you know, like referees, they'll call you out, and the coach will call you out too. You know, so everybody wanted to make sure they stayed in their lane and they did their part. But it was no pressure, because we were all used to doing it. So it wasn't like a fear. It was just a respect. You know, we respected Leon as our leader, and we respected each other as the body of Solar, the sound of Solar, and we did our part. We knew our responsibility, but it was no pressure because we were having fun. It was like going to a basketball court. So as far as, you know, how much did we discuss? It was really not a lot that we discussed before recording. We just knew our parts. All right. So anyway, I just heard my voice come up from somewhere. So there you go. And thank you. Thank you for the questions. It's really good because you make me think and go back to these moments, and it's good. It's good. You know, there's another group that came in to Solar as we were moving forward. And they came in, and what an impact this group made. And not only did they come in, but they even brought another group with them that came a little bit after them and ended up having one of the biggest producers in the world in that group. So with that being said, please send me questions. I'm here. This is the group that I'm talking about. The Night Star.
Your love's intoxicating. Why the hell? I couldn't get, I had to rest my wrist on.
I really like that song. Talk to Me. That was one of those songs that we were finishing up the commitment with RCA Records and moving on to Elektra. And it was, you know, from a creative point of view, it was fun and exciting. I'm not sure from a business point of view how that must have felt. You know, you have a company that builds you up and takes you there and supports you in RCA. And then all of a sudden, the company that you took from nowhere and, I mean, from zero to, 100, all of a sudden they're leaving you and going to another company. That can't feel good. So, but that wasn't my business. That was above my pay grade. And so we were just doing our parts and doing what we were asked to do and getting the job done. And I tell you, I was just a kid. So I thank God for Leon Silvers, being a big brother and just kind of making sure we all did what we had to do. And it was a learning experience for sure. And for sure. So we got a little bit more time left and I got another question here. Let me see where that is. I was on a show at 6 o'clock this morning overseas for 3 hours. Whew. That was a long interview. Man, I'm so tired. I'm so tired. Let's see here. Let's see here. Where are you? Okay. All right. I need to bring it over here so I can see. So it's asking me if I could first Dick Griffey was contributed to writing, but how did that fade off? Can you talk a little bit about Dick writing some tracks? So I'm going to tell you this. First of all, I never witnessed any of that. That all happened before I got there in 79. At that point, Dick had hired Leon to take that position. But I'm quite sure that, you're building a company and he was a musician. I mean, and he's been around music forever. So it was probably very easy for him to do whatever he had to do to make sure that this little company be able to do what it ended up doing. And sometimes as the boss, you got to get down and get dirty too. And, and so you can't always have the suit on, and on the phone, sometimes you got to get in the studio and bust your butt and sweat, and just work really hard. And so, and a leader don't mind doing that. A real leader will get down and do that. Say, hey, let's get the job done. Let's do what we got to do. But once also a real businessman recognizes when he brings in talent, like in Leon Silvers, and say, hey, I don't really need to be there anymore, do I? Because you got this. Yeah, I got this. Hey, then he could focus on handling all of the creative stuff that needed to be handled for Solar. And he did. And so he took care of the business. And, he still was bringing people in. He still had that air. He was very, he would let Leon know and other people, producers or writers, what he liked and what he didn't like and why he liked it. He would bring artists in. I mean, he was very much hands-on in terms of the creative side. But, as far as all of the in the studio writing and producing all that stuff, he didn't have to do all that. He was the man. He just said, hey, this is what I want. This is a song and I need you to do this song. And y'all heard last week when Carlos Green from The Deal, Dick Griffey had a song that he wanted The Deal to do and the guys weren't like feeling it. And so he invited Carlos Green out to dinner. And they went to dinner and hung out and talked. And I think he said they watched a movie or something. I don't know. And he said, and Dick just kind of leaned over into him and said, hey, I got a song. I want you to do. He said, the other guy is not doing it, and I want you to do it. And Carlos was, let me hear the song. Yeah, I'll do it. That's cool. And did it, and it was one of the biggest songs that they did. So, you know, Dick, he had his way, and he got it done. And Carlos was so grateful because of it, right? He was so grateful for that. And just because someone's not in the studio don't mean they don't know what they're doing. Don't mean they don't know what they're talking about. You know, sometimes people can lead from the back. They don't have to be in the front. And that's good. So, and that's what I believe he did. Let me see here. What is this here? What style did Dick prefer, up-tempo or ballads? I don't know the answer to that question. I know what he did prefer was hits. I knew that based off of, you know, his responses when he heard the songs that we were working on that had nothing to do with his artists. He wanted those songs, and he pulled them, and they were hits, like And the Beat Goes On. He pulled that song for the Whispers. Also, the Whispers did not want to do It's a Love Thing. They thought it was some kind of Chinese song or something. I mean, I don't know why, you know, because of the ding, 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 the beginning of the song, it just was like, what is that? You know, they weren't used to these new sounds that were coming out of the synthesizers. And Dick Griffey was like, I don't care what y'all think. This is the song, and y'all need to go in the studio and record it, period. End of story. And a lot of times he was the final say. He was the bottom line. And so, you know, then the Whispers, you know, I mean, it's like they've been around for a long time. And so, you know, Dick had his way. So I know that when I would see him when we were performing, I think he was just, you know, I can't answer that question honestly, but what I can say is I think he just loved good music and he just loved talent. He was always around it as a manager, you know, with the artists. He had a nightclub and he was just always in it and doing it. So he knew what talent was. He was a drummer. Yes, he was a drummer. And so I heard Kerry Lucas mention that one day and I almost fell out of my chair. I said, what? I didn't know he was a drummer. And so, yes, he was a drummer. So he knew talent and he knew how much work went into perfecting your art and stuff. And so that's a good question. So thank you. I just don't really know a whole lot about what, you know, those specifics in regard. I don't make up stuff to try to, because that stuff will come back and bite you in the butt, right? It is what it is. I'm being very real and very honest because I really love Solar and I love the legacy of Solar. I love what happened. I love what we did. And I talked 3 hours this morning about Solar to a radio station overseas. So I wasn't worn out. I really enjoyed it. And we actually prayed. And they prayed for me. And so it's just beautiful. You know, sometimes we get into just sharing out. And before you know it, gets very personal. And people were just praying for me and my wife. And like, you know, I'm going to just pray for you guys. And thank you for, you know, your contribution to the music industry. And, you know, it's really a blessing because it takes two. Right. You know, it takes two to make a thing go right. And for us, it took you guys, the listeners and the not just the listeners, but the people who are buying the records. And it took us to create the stuff. And so between us and you guys, we made it happen together. And so we're celebrating together here on Solar Records Radio, the legacy of Solar Records, the dream that Dick had, and he made it come true. All right. So, you know, we're going to keep this thing going. We only got about another 30 minutes left in the show. This is Wardell Potts Jr., the drummer of Dynasty and the Throwdown Brothers. And man, oh man, what an opportunity this is to hang out with you guys and talk about this every Friday on Solar Records Radio. Don't forget tomorrow, Solar Wants to Dance, and we are sharing and talking about dementia and Alzheimer's disease. That is the awareness part that's really important to us so that we can be a blessing to, if it's someone in our family that gets it or we get it, or you know, or someone that we know close by that we know that we can be a blessing to them in this. It's just learning more about it and how to deal with it, because you know, as we get older, things just happen and this thing just comes out of nowhere. It's like, what? I have what? And so how do you deal with it? And so we're going to talk about it again tomorrow. Every Saturday this month in November, we are, you know, recognizing this disease. And just last month, we were talking about breast cancer awareness, and that was really important. And a lot of us learned that men get breast cancer too. We had no idea. I had no idea, man, cancer. So, but Beyonce's dad shared his story with us, and whoa, he had breast cancer. And so we're like, man. So he's one of the men that go around and share. Now, that's only 1% of only 1% of men get breast cancer, but that 1% is a lot of people, right? A lot of lives. And so we have to just pay attention, that's all. So anyway, that's our Saturday show is really about our health. It's really a health show. And the dance part is cardiovascular, you know, moving, keeping that blood flowing, you know, keeping that cardiovascular system cleaned up, and so that our hearts are doing well. And anyway, guys, so I want to tell you that we also had a great friend of ours in the group with us when we were on the road with me, Shalimar. We had a wonderful time, and I enjoyed this guy. And he ended up going to the UK and getting a deal for himself. And, you know, it's very interesting because a lot of dads like the song that he put out. And we're like, What is he talking about? You don't have to take your clothes off to have a good time. Dance was like, yes, I told you. So anyway, this is Jermaine Stewart here on Solar Records Radio. We'll be back.
Not a word from your lips. Lisa, baby.
I'm sorry, Don.
Dirty Watley.
You know, that did it for her, man. That was the beginning of a new career for Jody Watley after Shalimar. And just so proud of her for getting out there and doing her thing and keeping her own legacy alive. And
it was, you know what? It was just so weird. Oh, well, hey, hello, everybody. This is Don Fleming hanging out with Brother Wardell, but I had to jump in on that because, you know, I love me some Jody. But you know what's so crazy about that? You know, of course, the award she won after that album, she was considered Best New Artist. And that was just crazy to me because she's been in the game for, you know, at least at that time, at least 10 years.
Right, but never as a solo artist. So that's
I get that. I know. I get that part, but I was just saying, you know, just the way they just, you know, I guess kind of like the, I'm not going to say just the pop crowd or the mainstream crowd, but it just seems like, you know, she was considered best new artist. But, you know, for everyone that knew Jody's been around, you know, I mean, for years. But again, as a solo artist, I get that. But it was just still weird to me, though.
Right. Yeah. She, yeah, when you hear new, there's nothing new there. she's been around longer than most people. But, you know, she definitely did well on her own. And I'm proud of her for that. And, you know, and I know she was proud of Jermaine Stewart. And, you know, and I know that was hard on her to lose him because they were really close. And we would be on stage, us three, just making jokes and having fun. Us three were like, we were three the hard way or something. We were silly. We were just silly and just so sad. He was one of the background singers for Shalimar when I was playing with him. Yeah. And so miss him. I went to see him before he passed away. And, that was a sad thing. You know, it was someone else we lost too. Let me see if I can find out who. From the Gap Band.
Yeah, Ronnie Wilson.
Yes. And so, you know, just, you know, we like to salute, you know, him and his legacy and his family. And I've seen a couple of my friends at the celebration, homegoing celebration that they had
down
for him.
In Tulsa.
And
Tulsa.
Yeah, and it was just it's just, you know, something else. It's so hard to say goodbye. As men, as boys to men would say. And but anyway,
GC, you know, Cameron too.
Oh yeah, he sang it.
Yeah, see?
I thought you were saying he left us.
No, GC Cameron did. You know, it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday, too.
We have it right here.
I'm sorry, man. I didn't mean to kind of, I guess the transitioning, I got to do better in the transition because you feel like you're talking about GC Cameron passing on. No, you had said, for the listeners out there, he had said it's so hard to say goodbye to yesterday. Boys the Men did their version. Of course, GC Cameron did the original. So from Cooley High. Because the reason why I know, because Cooley High is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Oh, okay. It cracks me up. I love your character. You should be a good.
And I love yours, Wardell. I love yours. You're a man of just great distinction.
Yeah. He's so funny. But anyway, it's been I just want to say to all my friends, thank you so much for all your amazing questions, and thank you for blessing us and hanging out with us here on Soul Art Records Radio today.
I got a quick question.
Go.
I got a quick question for you, man. Uh-oh. You know, of course, you know, we're talking about all things Soul Art, and I want to thank everybody for tuning in, and want to thank everybody for donating to the show and supporting the show. Once again, want to remind everybody you can go to SoulArtRecordsRadio.com, or you can go to WardellPottsJr.com, and you can also on the Cash App, $ Soul Art Records Radio, all one big word. But I got to ask this because, you know, when I heard the tour, the Japan tour, what are some of your memorable stories from your tour, the tour in Japan? If I'm not, was it 81, 82?
Okay, I didn't go on that tour.
You didn't?
That was William Shelby, Kevin Spencer, Nydra Beard, and then they put a band together. They asked me to go, but I was making way too much more money than they were going to be able to pay me. So
you were getting ready to do the super producer thing, but I could have sworn you went on that tour, but that, you know what? But hey, that's my fault, man.
No, it's okay. That was good. I mean, it was, I wanted to go, you know, cause I want to be with them, but I was just making, there's no comparison, you know,
Randy about it, Randy Mullington, and he would tell me about, you know, the stories and stuff. I had no idea you didn't go.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's fine. I mean, cause then that was a thing that, you know, life goes on. Right. And, this has been like years after, Dynasty had its thing going. And then I went on to start producing and writing for different people. And then I opened up a recording studio in Orange County and, you know, and so I had my studio out there. And then I opened up a driving business, and I ended up giving that to my son to take over. And we're delivering, you know, and we're not drug dealers, but we're delivering narcotics to hospitals, you know, eyeglasses, prescription glasses, delivering payroll to Mercedes-Benz. And so it was, you know, it was just like I was busy. I had too much going on. I was juggling. I was just really blessed. You know, I learned that from my dad. I really wanted a gas station. I wanted my dad, because he had three of them. And I figured, I want to open up a gas station. And I just couldn't get to it. As much as I wanted it, I couldn't get to it. So, you know, maybe one of these days I'll open up a gas station. There was one that was right up the street. It was the same as my dad, a Sunoco station, right up the street. Mm-hmm. And then they closed down. I was so excited to see it. And now it's closed down. I'm like, crap. I was so excited. I was so excited to see it. But
My God.
So tomorrow, guys, don't forget, we'll be talking about dementia and just awareness, basically. And, you know, we want everybody to make sure that they, you know, are focused on early detection. I mean, you need to we need to go to the doctor. You know, we had an interview yesterday. Was it yesterday? Was it? No, that was Wednesday with a heart specialist. And right?
And from Mandrill.
Right. And Dr. Rick Wilson. And you know, and people, a lot of us, we will start working out and doing things without consulting the doctor. And so it's important, man, that we, you know, we can have fun with the music. We can just have a great time. That's what that stuff is. That's what the music is for. It's just, let's have a good time, relax and enjoy each other and all that stuff. But we also have to live so we could do those things, right? And so let's take care of ourselves. We, as we're getting older, it's not, you know, it gets, it's no joke. We have to take care of ourselves. So that's what the Saturday show is. It's a health show. And that's really what it's about. When you sit here, dance, Solar wants to dance, that's cardiovascular, you know, taking care of your cardiovascular system, you know. So, you know, please, you know, we lost a couple of members from Dynasty from, you know, heart attacks just this year, you know, guys. So let's remember to take care of ourselves. Anyway, so is there anything else you want to say, Don?
No, again, I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. Make sure you guys tune in tomorrow. Solar Wants to Dance at 2 p.m. Eastern. I'm not going to say 2 p.m., right? 2 p.m.
Yeah.
Eastern Standard Time. And a little bit about, you know, dementia and Alzheimer's. You remember my great aunt had it, you know, and you know, it was just one of those things, man. You know, you get older, you know, it's just things you just gotta watch out for. You gotta be mindful. You can't do the things you used to do in your 20s and you know, arguably your 30s. You know, so please, yes, take care of yourself. I am on that journey right now with myself, trying to, you know, get in better shape and reading a little bit more. You know, I love reading, but for the past year, at least a year, I guess during the pandemic, I slowed down on reading, you know, books and things I wanted to kind of get back into doing that, you know, keep my mind sharp and whatnot. So, guys, just, yes, take care of the number one, you know, and you know, to love everyone else, you got to love yourself. So,
we got to be here. We got to be here. All right, guys.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. And we're going to let you go. And no, Greg's like, do I need to consult with my doctor before you play the Solar remix? Here you go. Thanks, Greg, for everything. Thanks, Don. Thanks to everybody. Astrid, be safe. Have a good time out there tonight.
Thank you, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow. We love you.
The love flowing my direction. We'll be right back.